testimonies this morning? How many of us listened to the testimonies this morning? Did you see how awesome God has been in our midst? God has been so kind. God has been so faithful. Sicknesses healed. Blood flow ceased. Accidents suspended. Armed robbery attack terminated. Graduations and testimonies of God's favor, financial supplies and all. God indeed has been kind. For all those testimonies to the one person that has done it, lift up your hands, lift up your voice and say thank you. Knowing fully well that your own is the next. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all these testimonies. For all these testimonies, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be thy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Today is the ninth day in this fasting and prayers that we have started. The 12 days of empowerment. And the ninth is attached to delivery. When somebody has a pregnancy, when it is 9 months, they are expectant. If they were not buying something before, in preparation, they know that the time has come. 9 months signify, 9 months signify the time of bringing forth something new. 9 months signify the time of addition, when something new is added to a family, added to a life. I want you to cry to God this morning. Oh God! Oh God! On this night day of this great fast, let me bring forth something new. Prayers in the name of Jesus. On this night day of this overflowing grace fast, let me bring forth something new. Let me deliver my miracle. Let me deliver my testimony. Let me deliver my miracle. Raise your voice. Pray fervently. Let me deliver my miracle. On this ninth day, Jesus, my miracle will not be aborted. My miracle will not be aborted. My testimony will not be aborted. Pray. Raise your voice to God. Pray fervently. Pray diligently. Jesus' name we are praying. If you want a lion's share, you must have a lion's heart. You don't get things just cheaply, especially miracles, signs, and wonders. They come on the platform of pressing. You have to press into your miracles. You have to pray in the place of prayer. You have to press Jesus. Something must be delivered. Listen to me. God does not bless multitude, He blesses individuals. So we can be so many here and just God just pick a few people who are ready to press. God, I want something delivered into my life. When others are thanking God for what you have done in this fast, I don't want to be looking like a leukocyte. Something must be, your heart must be a lion heart, a heart of desperation. You must be desperate. You must press into it. Oh God, oh God, this morning I press into my testimony. I press into my signs and wonders. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. I press into my testimony. I press into the next levels of my destiny. Into signs and wonders, I press into miracles, I press into new levels, I press into a favor. I must not come here and go back the same way. Almighty God, visit my life, visit my family, visit my destiny, visit my children, visit my career. Something new must come for me today, Almighty God. Jesus' name we are praying. Father, we thank you. Blessed be thy name. As we go into your word this morning, Holy Spirit, take absolute charge in the name of Jesus. Let everyone here this morning go back with their share of their testimony in the name of Jesus. We promise to return all the glory to you. Take absolute control in Jesus' name. Amen. Give Jesus a big clap offering, everybody. The loudest, the biggest, the loudest you can for the King of Glory. As you welcome somebody to your left and to your right and you tell them, overflowing grace is your portion. Overflowing grace is your portion. Overflowing grace is your portion. And then you may please be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's my privilege to welcome everybody to this glorious service. We want to thank God for his mercies, for his goodness, and for all his kindness that we have enjoyed as a church and as individuals. My prayer for you is that God's favor and grace will never cease in your lives in Jesus' name. I want to believe, God, that you have been enjoying God in this overflowing grace fast. And I trust, God, that what eyes have not seen and what ears have not heard, what has not come to the heart and the mind of man, is what God will do for you in Jesus' name. We've been having a refreshing time in the last 8 days in the presence of the Lord. The atmosphere has been electric. The prayers have been awesome. The atmosphere has been wonderful. The testimonies have been awesome. And God has been moving in diverse ways in our midst. And we are thankful to him for all his favors and all his blessings. And today is another morning. And I trust God that something awesome will drop for somebody here this morning in the name of Jesus. If you are the person I'm talking about, let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Just like the doctor said in the course of his testimony, he said, you don't need to pursue God when you need him only. Don't run after God only when you are in crisis. Don't run after God when you are broke. Don't run after God when you are broke. One of our privileged mentors in ministry, when my wife first met the wife of the person, the first thing he asked my wife is, what were you doing before God called you? Because that will show if you were called because of a hunger or you came because you wanted to serve God. And really my wife told her that my husband and I are chartered accountants and this and that. He said, can I have your number? Yes, we want to get close to you. Don't run after God only when things are tough. You don't store energy when you need the energy. You store the energy before you need the energy. The ear is a race. Know ye not that all run in a race, but one obtain the prize. So run that you might obtain the prize. You don't wait until you are in need of power before you get the power. You generate power before you need the power. If you wait till when you need it, it might not be possible. If you are in a race, maybe 100 meters dash race, and then they say you are having a race today at 10, and then by 8 you start jogging, you start carrying weight, you start doing it cannot, the time has gone. That's why most people cannot move in the course of the year. There was no preparation, so there was no access. There was no preparation for the future, so there was no power to drive the vision. The ball is in your court. The ball is in your court. We have 3 days left. And I can assure you, these 3 days, what has never happened in the last 9 days will happen in the name of Jesus. So please, from tomorrow, key into it. Key in. Don't be a slave of your career. Don't be a slave of your business. One of the great men here is here this morning. He didn't come for a few days. And I called him. I said, why are you not here? He said, the time I want to come is the time customers will call me that they want to buy things. I said, you are deceiving yourself. I said, what they are going to buy within that period that you are going to be here for that 2 hours, 5:30 to 7:30, is not what will make you to become rich. The devil is just using that to blindfold you. And from that day, I think from that day or so, I started seeing him here. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Don't be deceived. You can't sow little and expect that you just get so much. You have to press into it. Every man is the architect of his own destiny Every man is the architect of his own destiny. Every man is the architect of his own destiny. Every man is the architect. You are the architect of your destiny. The ball is up to you. I'm privileged this morning to be speaking on a message titled Unveiling the Secrets of Overflowing Grace. Unveiling the secrets over. Now, again, I want to define grace. You need to be very fast in your writing this morning, because I'll be very fast so as to help us be able to have time to pray. Thank you, Jesus. What is grace? Grace is invisible personality of God that gives meaning to life. Grace is the invisible personality of God that gives you a meaningful life. Invisible personality of God that gives you a meaningful life. Number two, what is grace? Grace is divine takeover. Divine takeover. That is God taking over from where your human strength stops. Billy Graham said, when we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. When you have come to the end of yourself, say, hey, where I am now, this is where my certificate has taken me. This is where my certificate has taken me. That is where God takes over from. That's what they call grace. Grace is like a lift. When you want a truck, two tires out of 16 tires goes out all of a sudden. And then you bring 50 people to carry that truck, they will sweat tire. But a single lift, small lift, placed under that truck, and then maybe they use leg to touch it, pump it, and it lifts the truck. They put the tire, they press it once, it comes down, they remove it, you are going. That's what they call grace. It brings ease to life. But when you bring 50 men, you say, bring men with strength, men with muscle, they will be sweating. Yeah! Carry 1, 2, 3 at the count of 7. They carry it. By the time the 7, the thing comes down again. Me. But grace is a lifter. It will lift you with ease. People cannot see your sweat, but they cannot deny your sweat. They can't see your sweat, but they cannot deny that you have sweat in your life. That is grace. What is grace? It is the fuel for destiny, progress, and acceleration. The fuel for destiny, progress, and acceleration. If you desire grace, there are some responsibilities which I call secrets. Every promise of God comes with responsibilities to man. If God promises you, this is what is going to happen, there is a promise. Is that promise you look for? I want to show you this morning, as God gives us the time, some of your own responsibility to attract more of God's grace. And one secret this morning I'll be talking about is the study of the Word of God. The Word of God is God. According to John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was there with God from the beginning. So the Word was there from the beginning. The Word is God Himself. Nothing was made that was made without Him. Nothing. There's nothing that exists without the Word. There is no miracle possible without the Word. Your life is limited without the Word. The Word of God is so important that it is the force that attracts grace to your life. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Word of God is something that brings profit to your life. That's what they call grace. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Someone say profitable. This year, 2016, you will never know loss. It is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof and instruction unto righteousness. So the word of God is for your profit. The word of God is to bring gain to your life. The word of God is to bring blessing to your life. The further away you are from the world, the further away you are from grace. That's why the devil does everything not to make you read the Bible. Okay, if you don't come to the church often, how do you even want to read the Bible? You need to get closer to the word at this time. There are some juice in the Bible that you need to suck out. There are some blessings in the Bible that you need to suck out. There are some things for your destiny you need to suck out. There's somebody here today, your life will never lack grace forever. Only the studious flow in grace. Only the studious flow in grace. If you are not studious, you can flow in grace. And what do you study? You study the word. You study the books, particularly Christian books, that inspires your faith. That inspires your faith. One of my beloved daughters here traveled to the church of one of my mentors, and then she got some books for me, about two books. And when she got back, she told my wife that I got two books for Pastor. And Mama said, you should have asked me. He has all the books. All the books. All. Study. Settle down with the word. There is a blessing in the word for you. There are some juice in the word for you. Settle down with it. Get something out of it. That Christians who have not read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John finish since. But many meals and bones and hymns have suffered in their hands. Many newspapers have suffered in their hands. Guardian, Punch, they are punching each other. The Guardian is punching the person too. Different papers. But to settle down with the world is a challenge. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It's important for you to settle down in the world. Settle down in the world. Settle down in the world. Number two, secret to overflowing grace is maintaining godly and goodly character. Maintaining godly and goodly character. Grace is drained when character is shattered. Success is a function of favor, and it takes character to work in favor. It takes character to work in favor. No character, no favor. Look at the man called Samson. In the book of Judges chapter 13, the birth of Samson was predicted. In fact, God had a hand in his birth. God himself blessed him. Judges 13 verse 25-26. God himself attended his naming ceremony, and the Bible says God blessed him. Not the pastor bless him. God himself bless Samson. Judges 13, 25 and 26. He was super blessed. And there was a certain man of Zorah. Verse 25. I've already explained all this place. The mother and the father were barren. And all that. I'm sure you know all the story. Go to verse 25. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Judges. Thank you, Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Go to verse 24 first. 24 first and then 25. And the woman bore his son and called his name Samson. And the child grew. And the Lord blessed this boy. The Lord himself blessed him. In fact, in verse 25, the Holy Spirit began to move him. Let me give you the CV of Samson a little bit. Samson was born as a Nazarene. He was born as somebody very special before God. He was born with power. God impacted him with power. Number one, Samson was a guy that he killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of an ass in one sitting, in one fight. Samson was a guy that he killed lions with his bare hands. He was very strong. Now listen to this. Samson was a guy that One day, some people locked him up in a place with gates. He uprooted the gates and put the two door posts on his shoulders. And he went up to a mountain. This is our gate here. Somebody went there. They locked him inside. He now uprooted the gate. He shook the gate like this. Uproot it to the post. And moved him to the mountain. Somebody say strength. He was a man of mega strength. He was a man with supernatural, extraordinary strength. That's in Judges 16 verse 3. Judges 16 verse 3. He uprooted the post, uprooted the gate, went straight to the mountain. And Samson lay till midnight. And at midnight, took the door of the gate of the city. The gate of a city, not even the gate of a house. And two posts, and went away with them. Bar and all the iron, everything there. And put them upon his shoulders. And carry them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Strength. But his problem started from Judges 16 verse 1. The Bible says that he went into a harlot. His character, Samson went to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in. He went in pursuit of the harlot. That was the beginning of the end of Samson. He was a man with that God destined to do well, but his character was defective. The Bible says at the end of his life in Judges 16 verse 21, his eyes were plucked out by the Philistines, his enemies. They were dancing before God to thank their own God, small g God, that he delivered Samson to his hands. Samson's character distorted his life. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he didn't grind in the prison. He was grinding pepper with blind eyes for his enemies because of defective character. If the character of a man or a woman is defective, his end is surely destruction. Watch it. Watch your character. If you want to taste overflow, watch your character. Your character must be goodly and godly. It must be goodly. That is good in the society and godly to God. Goodly for the earth, godly for God. No character, no destiny. You can't have a low character and have a high destiny. Impossible. Impossible. Impossible, impossible, impossible. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 8, the Bible says, bodily exercise profited little, but godliness profited unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and the life that is to come. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8. Your godliness, your goodliness has a profit. Someone say profit. In your life, you will never suffer losses again. Let me hear your loudest amen. Watch it. Don't play the Nigerian game. Don't move. Don't do the things everybody is doing. Because it is what everybody is doing doesn't make it right. You want to taste grace? Be ye separate. Be different. Watch your steps. Guide your walk. Guide your walk. Guide your intentions. Guide your conduct. Until you are different, you are not needed. Life is not looking for people who is like everybody else. They are looking for people who are different. People who are different. Listen to this. Any preaching that preaches grace and does not talk about righteousness is not from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. Shall we continue in sin and expect that the grace of God will continue? No, God forbid. No. Any teaching that teaches, oh, we're in a free world, anybody can do anything, you can eat anything, you can drink anything, you can wear anything. Listen to me, even as a man, you can't wear anything. There are some dresses you wear like a man, you look like a prisoner. When your trouser is down, and everybody can see your underwear, and the line of your bum bum where you used to poo poo is showing to everybody. Or maybe you even forgot some poo poo in between. And everybody's seeing it. He said, this is the fashion. This is what is reigning. That's why such people never reign. Have you ever seen any great minister of God sagging? Have you ever seen any president of a nation putting 1,000 rings on his ear at the same time? For where? What are they looking for? Is that what the world is looking for? The world is looking for your product, not your nonsense. What are you selling? What are you doing? What are you adding to life? I prayed a prayer point last night during my teaching. I said, pray that you will not come to this world for nothing, that you will make impact on this generation. That prayer is one of the best prayers you can pray. Some people are just living. Even their family doesn't recognize them because they are not adding any value. They are not adding any value anywhere. Church, house, office, anywhere. Just marking time. I will soon die. Jesus is coming soon. In this generation, your life will count. You will not be a waste. Anywhere you are, in your class, in your office, as an engineer, as a lawyer, as a doctor, as a banker, as a businessman, anywhere you find yourself, you will make a mark. Amen. I say you will make a mark. Can I work in a place and then I leave and you will forget me easily forever? Impossible. Because I will practically touch your heart that you can, there's no way you can forget me. Either positively or negatively. If you are a wicked person, you will not remember me for good. Because I will make sure I deal with that person very well. And if it is for good, it's not possible for you to say you forget me. Get yourself on point with godliness. Don't play away for his name. You are different. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar person, called to show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. So you are different. You are not like everybody. You are different. There's something different about you. There are no two people like you in the entire world. I release you to go and impact your world today in the name of Jesus. From business to career, whatever it is you are doing, I release you as men and women of impact in every field of endeavor in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. 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 They celebrated David's, I think, 2,000 years or so. Over 2,000 years of David's existence. A man died over 2,000. There are some people that died last month. They have forgotten them now. Because they did not live a godly life. They did not leave anything good. Their children did not pick anything from them. I told my children, I said, you guys, the only thing I can leave for you is the fear of God. Fear God. No, fear God. Fear God. And face your books. I have nothing to drop for you. Face your books and fear God. Walk in the line of God. You tell me, this man, what is he going to do? You are. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Number three, what is the secret of overflowing grace? Obedience, or what we call a walk with God. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 14, there's a clear story, there's a clear mandate there. If thou shalt obey and serve the Lord thy God, then there are blessings there that he begins to list. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 14. I will bless you. I will do this. You shall be the head and not the tail. You will be the first. You will not be the last. He begins to list out blessings as a result of obedience. Obedience is the gateway to grace. Obedience also means a walk with God. I want to show you something. We're going to read it together in Deuteronomy 7, verse 11 to 15. Deuteronomy 7, can we have it on the screen? We're going to read it together because somebody's life must tap into this morning. Deuteronomy 7, verse 11 to 15. Now, everybody, one, two, go. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgment which I command thee this day to do them. Verse 12. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. Now verse 13. And bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, the increase of thy kin and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all the people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Verse 15, where we're going to stop. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will keep none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all that hate thee. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus. All the sickness the enemy wants to place on you, it is going on top of your enemies in the name of Jesus. Also again, we are going to read together Proverbs 1 verse 8 to 9. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, 1, 2, go. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace on thy head, and chains about thy neck. Can you see that? When you listen to the instruction of your father and your mother, there will be grace to you. That's where overflowing grace comes from. Ability to listen to instruction is the gateway to distinction. A child can never taste distinction if he doesn't listen to his father and mother. When we're talking about father and mother, we're talking about spiritual parents and biological parents. Ah, my son, this is your friend that you are bringing home. I'm not comfortable with him. Something is not right somewhere. That's a caution. But when you say, no, mommy, leave me, what do you mean? Ah, this is a modern age. If he's wearing seven rings, it doesn't matter. He's the one that owns his ears. He owns his ear. He can do anything with it. This is your friend that you are bringing home. I don't think I'm comfortable with her. The way she looks. That's a word of caution. That's a word of caution. That's a word of caution. The ability to be obedient to instructions is the gateway to your destiny. Now listen to this. Financial overflow is impossible without being obedient. There's a woman called the widow of Zarephath in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 1 to 16 tells us so many stories, but let me just look at the one of the widow of Zarephath particularly. The Lord spoke to Elijah and said, Elijah spoke and said, for 3.5 years there will be no rain or water. He said, I prepared food for you at the brook. Just go there. And then a raven is a bird that likes to eat. He eats anything. And raven was bringing food to him morning and evening, bread morning and then evening. And then after some time, the brook dried up. When you get to go and read it, I don't have time. I'll just summarize and paraphrase. After some time, the brook dried up. When the brook dried up, the Bible says God spoke to him again. Someone say again. So instruction you got yesterday is gone. God will give you another one again. So you're going to say, I know what God has told me then. He's giving you another one. He's speaking to you now through another vessel now. Then God spoke to him. Elijah, move. I prepared a widow for you in Zarephath. 1 Kings 17, I presume verse 5 or so. I prepared another widow for you. Verse 7, arise. Verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. I've commanded the widow to sustain thee. He got up. Somebody say obedience. And as he got there, the woman was waiting. She had just a little flour from verse 10 now. Just a little flour to eat and to die, because the famine was terrible. There was no food. There was no water. She had a son and she was just about to die. Let us see what happened there. And so he arose and went down to Zarephath, and when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11. And as she went, as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hands. He asked for water. Of course, okay, water is scarce, but at least I can give you that. And he asked for the only thing left, morsel of bread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This was the last thing this woman had. But verse 13, let us see the instruction, clear cut instruction. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For go on to verse 14 very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. The flow continued because she listened to instruction. Many have ceased from enjoying overflow because they've not received and complied with the last instruction. The last instruction, yielding to the last instruction, is important for the next destination. Yielding to the last instruction is pivotal. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fall, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. The word of the Lord, true, God did not come down himself and say, Holy Yahweh, I am here. No. The word came through his servant. And you can see this servant was also, he didn't have a car, he didn't have a jet, he didn't have a suit, he just had maybe a stick. And the woman still listened. What you have said, the last thing we have, we should cook it for you. Okay, we go ahead. It looks like foolishness. You know, sometimes obedient people look like foolish people. When you are obedient, you are like a, you look foolish. You look like you don't know what they are doing. You look like you are stupid. He doesn't know anything. This one doesn't, he doesn't know Nigeria. Is God a citizen of Nigeria alone? God is universal. God is more than you can imagine. If he gives you an instruction, he will back you up. Friends, you will never know disgrace this year. I say you will never know disgrace this year. That's why the leading of God is the gateway to distinction. The obedience to God is your gateway. That's what we pastors do. That's why people say, it's anointed. They pray. Is because of listening to God leading and going with it. That's the difference. If you can also spend quality time with God, hours with God, in the dead of the night when others are sleeping, Jesus, speak to me, tell me something, help me. God spoke to me on Friday, and I was sharing with the men of God on while we're having our vigil on Friday night. Of 17 verses of the scriptures that God gave me on Friday that has turned my, it has set fire on my heart. 17 verses of scripture, and it is burning like fire in me. I think about it every second. Just 17 verses. I won't tell you, you are not a pastor, but I told them, I shared it with them. It ignited me. It set my heart. I was practically on fire. I got up from my seat because of this fast. Your obedience is your gateway to overflowing grace. The grace to be obedient is coming upon somebody in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. Delayed obedience is also disobedience. If you obey but your obedience is delayed, it's just like you have disobeyed. So these are just the simple principles that will help you. It will help you, it will change your life, and it will bring about a change in your life and your family. I want to give you the last one, and then we'll go to pray. I'm talking about secrets of overflowing grace. The last one I want to talk about this morning is called hard work. Hard work. Hard work. Hard work. Hard work does not mean hard life. In fact, hard work is what terminates hard life. In John chapter 5 verse 17, Jesus said, My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Jesus was a walker. My own Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. I'm a walker. My Father is a walker. In Proverbs 22 verse 29, said, See thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not ordinary men. He is a worker, so he must stand before kings. Grace flow towards the hardworking. Grace is hard work, is pressure for grace. When you are hardworking, is pressure on grace. The unction of grace flows on the hard workers. Work is not a curse. It is wrong work that wears people out. That's what our father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, said. He said, work doesn't have a problem. It is when you are doing a wrong work that you feel tired, you feel weared out. Work is not a problem. God, listen to this. The first thing that God gave man was work. Genesis 2 verse 15 to 17. This garden I've given to you, dress it and keep it. This garden, this thing I'm giving to you, dress it, keep it. So no work, forget it. Genesis 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it. Somebody say dress it. Take care of it. Nurture it. Nurture it. Dress your field. Your field, whatever you are doing as a businessman, as a decorator, as an engineer, as a pastor, as a minister, as a mechanic, as a hairdresser, whatever it is you are doing, no matter how big or how small it is, dress it and keep it. I want you to notice that immediately after people ask about your family, they ask about your work. That is, after your family, if you don't have work, you don't have worth. I've said it before, if you remember, I said, if you are a housewife, you can become a housefly. A housewife that is not working will be a gossiper. You will have extra time. You will have extra time. I can't imagine somebody whose husband is still managing. You ask him for money, he's still sweating. Say how much? He says 10,000. What do you mean? Where do you want me to get that? 10,000, a whole 10,000. Where am I going to get? Even if I work this whole month, can I get that? And you are at home doing what? Go and get a job. Go and do something. Secure the future of your children. Work. There's nothing bad. Listen to me. If your husband is a billionaire, please still work. Because when you don't work, you become rusty. How many of us have seen cars that are parked? If a car is brand new and it is parked and it doesn't work 2-3 years, the bumper will fall down. The fuel pump, we catch dust. The screen, we crack, because birds, we go and sit down there, they will be using mouth to destroy the screen. Stone will fall on it. The exhaust will rust. Is somebody hearing me this morning? If you are a creature born to be working, let me show you something of what happens to somebody who doesn't work. Proverbs 24. Turn there very quickly, verse 30 to 34. Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 30 to 34. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, that's verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Somebody say, God forbid. A slothful man doesn't take care of his field. Thorns and thistles, things that destroy fruit, are growing everywhere there. He will be blaming everybody. He's somebody. He's my daddy. He's my mommy. He's my this. He's my uncle that did not help me. Don't blame anybody. Face your work. Face your assignment. If you are a student, be the student. Face your assignment. A student watching more than 6-7 movies at a sitting. He has his result already. Movie at a sitting, one sitting, changing CD from 1 to 2. This movie is sweet. It's very sweet. You are eating the skin of your head. you are eating the skin of your head. What are you doing? When you are supposed to dress it, Genesis 2 verse 15, dress it and keep it. That is, settle down on that chemistry. Settle down with it and browse it. I must get this thing. This lecturer, I'm wiser than him. I have wisdom than Solomon. Then you begin to get it. Until you get it, you don't stand up. Until you get it, your phone doesn't ring. If it rings, it's on silent or switch off. Who wants to marry a failure? Who wants to marry somebody who doesn't know his books? Who wants to marry somebody who is repeating every time? He's already thinking, ah, this must be how my children would be like. Let me find my levels. The earlier you settle with your studies, the better. I will fire you these few things and then we'll go to pray. God places a lot of emphasis on work. Grace doesn't work for weaklings, but for workers. Winning is working. Winning is not wishing. Success is not an accident, but a product of hard work. Success is not an accident. I just don't know. I just entered first class like that. I don't know how. I just don't know how it happened. I just find myself at the top. Success is not an accident. It's a product of hard work. You don't get into business wishing to succeed. You get into business willing to succeed, which is evidenced by your hard work. You know, and I wish to succeed. And I wish that they promote me. No. You have a target. You have been given a target to meet. You have been told what to do. You go after what you have been told to do. Not lazing around. Gifts and talents are multiplied by grace when hard work is introduced. Gifts and talents are multiplied. There are some gifts in you you don't know you have until you introduce the sequel of hard work. Until you introduce hard work into your gift, you don't know what that thing can bring to you. It can fetch you billions. But you have to introduce the sequel of hard work. You have to introduce hard work into what you are doing. The only alternative to hard work is hard life. Wasted youthfulness results in regrettable adulthood. Wasted youthfulness results in regrettable. When you see somebody who wastes his youth, I don't care about today. I can do anything. I can live as I want. I can do anything. Wasted youthfulness leads to regrettable adulthood. Anytime I'm moving around in the car and I see a very old man begging all around, this man has wasted his youth. There are two options. Either he wasted his youth or he's under attack of the devil to waste him. Because some people, they try to work with the devil. That's why we are fasting. So you can't do anything. You can't miss any of the two. Either you are fasting, waiting on the Lord, trying to push forward, or you live your life anyhow. You leave it. I don't want to work hard. Anything that happens to my life, let it happen. I don't really care. I know my qualification. I know where I am today. I know. If you are a success without God, it's just an assumed success. You would have been far away from there if you were with God. Wasted youthfulness results in regrettable adulthood. Until you press, you can become depressed. Until you press in hard work, you can become depressed. Until you introduce hard, listen to me, there is nothing like small work. Oh, there is nothing, it's just a small work. I just got a small job. That small work is the lifting to your next level. That's your small work. That is the lifting to your next level. So don't say it's just a small work. If you don't do that small work very well, God can never give you something better. How many of you, if you give somebody 500,000 to trade and the person was able to make profit, you now give the person 50 million. Say, I gave you 500,000, you could not profit. So go and test this 50 million. Then the 50 million too, you waste it. You say, okay, maybe you don't like small money. Take 500 million. You can do it. It's the same thing with God. The small work given to you now, how are you doing it? When do you get to your office? When do you get to your office? What time do you leave? What hours do you put into your work? What number of hours do you put into your assignment? Friends, you are face to face with a man who has no mercy when it comes to the issue of work on myself. Because I know I have no future if I laze around. I have no future. Zero future. Zero, zero, zero. There's no future for an idle man. There's no future for an idle man. There's no future for an idle soul. There's no future for an idle student. There's no future for an idle married man. There's no future for an idle married woman. There's no future for a pastor that is lazy. So tighten your belt. Tighten your belt. This is another year for you to make a mark. Until you walk, your generation can't celebrate you. So we are waiting for your product. We are waiting for your work. We are waiting for what you want to do this year. Get yourself on the mark. On your mark. Set. Go. You are off on your assignment. There's a future for somebody here this morning. I said there's a future for somebody here this morning. If you are that person, come on, shout a big hallelujah. If you are that person, shout a big hallelujah. If you are that person, shout a big hallelujah. Give Jesus a big clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In a minute, I'd like to close this aspect of the service. Listen to me. Overflowing grace is a product of salvation. To be saved is to be safe. If you are not saved, you are not saved. What do I mean by being saved? You are born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means if Jesus comes now, you are 100% sure he will take you. If not, what a privilege for you to surrender your life afresh to him.